KBBI's Evening News is supported by Homer Real Estate, bringing buyers and sellers together for over 40 years from Nanilchik, Happy Valley, Anchor Point, Homer, and across Catchback Bay. All current area listings are online at homerrealestate.com or by calling 907-235-5294.
For Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026, I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Evening News. First up, people may notice that Homer protesters are starting to follow a national red hat trend, originally a symbol of resistance to Nazi occupation that began gaining traction in Minnesota just a couple days after Renee Good was fatally shot in Minneapolis, Minnesota, by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement agent. Emily Springer talked with Tracy Nordstrom for more details on the current trend and history of the red hats.
Part-time Homer resident Tracy Nordstrom attended the protest event that took place at WKFL Park last Sunday and drew my attention to the number of red hats people were wearing. Nordstrom, a woman with Norwegian heritage, is also a resident of Minneapolis and provided an explanation for the increasing trend of red hats in the city and how the trend originated.
I was following social media, trying to make sense of all of it. A post came through from a local knitting shop called Needle and Skein, and they posted a little blurb on the history of red hats in Norway in about 1940, after the Nazis had invaded the country of Norway. Norwegian knitters started knitting red hats as a silent but very visible, peaceful protest against the occupation. As soon as that came across my social media feed, I realized that that was something I needed to start doing immediately. I think a lot of us in Minneapolis felt really helpless after all the chaos that had been going on, and I'm a longtime knitter. And what I learned about the Norwegian resistance was that they very silently continued to knit. They distributed the hats. Everyone wore the hats. They were all in the know. The Nazi government found out about it. And about 2 years into the occupation and the frantic knitting, they banned the wearing, the knitting, and the distribution of hats, punishable by law.
Nordstrom described another feature of the hat designed to mimic the Nisa hats. Nisa are Norwegian gnomes, folklore Christmas elves who are known to inhabit farmstead in Norway and who are the most helpful unless they are crossed, and then they can be vengeful, wicked, and fight back, Nordstrom said.
Think of like the Santa Claus mythology. The hat is very similar to a Santa Claus hat. So that's the history that I'm aware of, and this particular pattern is a Norwegian pattern in honor of that.
Nordstrom received an original post notice from a Minneapolis yarn shop, Needle and Skein, a shop owned by a mother and daughter. As soon as the shop began selling hat patterns for $5, they ran out of red yarn. Nordstrom said that Needle and Thread is using all of the proceeds from the yarn and patterns to support local support systems and have already raised over $400,000. This amount feature was confirmed in a January 31 publication from National Public Radio. In order to find wool, Nordstrom called one of her other favorite shops in St. Paul.
The shopkeeper who answered the phone said, "Hurry over, because the red wool is just flying out the door." So I drove, you know, as fast as I could to St. Paul, and I bought the 6 skeins of red wool that they had left. And as I said, I distribute them. And what I've read in Minneapolis and St. Paul and also nationwide is that a lot of shops are just completely out of red wool.
Nordstrom said that her sense is that people are wearing the hats full time, not just during protest, and the trend is starting to emerge in Homer.
As I was knitting here in Homer the other day, I was waiting for my mother-in-law at the, she was having some physical therapy, and two women leaned over and said, "I like your hat," and gave me a little wink. And I said, "Well, it's my resistance hat." And they said, "We have one too." They weren't wearing them in that moment because they were sitting in the waiting room, but I've seen them around town. And I know in Minneapolis, there are press pictures of people doing their grocery shopping, picking their kids up at childcare, walking around the lakes, wearing their red hats.
Nordstrom describes herself as a writer, storyteller, and community builder, and is looking forward to spending more time in Homer in the future. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
The Alaska House of Representatives passed a bill Friday that would tighten residency requirements for Alaskans buying hunting or fishing licenses. House Bill 93 aims to ensure that only people who spend enough time each year in Alaska to qualify for a permanent fund dividend can buy resident licenses. Those tend to cost less money and offer higher bag limits than non-resident licenses. State law currently limits resident licenses to people who are physically present in Alaska with no plans to leave, do not claim residency in another state, and have maintained a home in the state for 12 consecutive months. But it does not require that resident hunters actually live in the state for a full year. Representative Rebecca Himshute, a Sitka independent who sponsored the bill, says that definition leaves a big loophole.
The last point means that we allow someone who rents a room in a home from friends or someone who has a liveaboard boat that's on a trailer, but actually is in the state for less than a month, less than 2 months, potentially less than a week, to hunt and fish and enjoy the higher bag limits that are reserved for residents who are here year-round shoveling snow, volunteering in their communities, and putting their kids in our schools.
Himshute's bill seeks to close that loophole. Alaskans would have to be physically present in the state for at least 180 days each year to get resident licenses. There would still be numerous exceptions, including for military service members, students, and others allowed to be outside the state and are still eligible for permanent fund dividends. People who do not qualify for a resident license would have the option to buy a non-resident license instead. A wide range of fish and game advisory committees, tribes, and local governments spread across the state backed the bill. Some 12 House Republicans opposed the bill, including Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe. He says he's concerned the bill would exclude some Alaskans from the benefits of a resident license.
What about those pilots that have vacation homes elsewhere that would like to go spend 2 months in Hawaii, say, and then they have to fly out of state for 15 days a month?
But the bill has had broad support and passed with a bipartisan two-thirds majority in favor. Here's Representative Dan Sadler, an Eagle River Republican who caucuses with the minority.
Is there a problem? I think that we all acknowledge there is. Is this a solution? I think it is. Is it the perfect solution? No, it's not. But we don't deal in perfect and ideal. We do what's best and what we can do.
The bill now heads to the Senate, which passed a similar bill in 2024. And that's it for tonight's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer and 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201EO and online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. On KBBI tonight, tune in for a live broadcast of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly meeting, and then coffee table tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thanks for listening, and good evening.